of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house.
Ever sing your praise.
How lovely is your dwelling place.
O Lord of hosts.
My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord.
My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God.
Behold our shield, O God.
Look on the face of your anointed.
For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor.
No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly.
Thank you. the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the Transfiguration of our Lord is from the fifth book of Moses, called Deuteronomy, the 34th chapter. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake.
The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples.
Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he.
The King in his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he.
Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called upon his name. They called to the Lord, and he answered them.
In the pillar of the cloud he spoke to them. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them.
O Lord, our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings.
Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy.
The reading from the letters is from the letter to the Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. He shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the
resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come.
Mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the account of the Transfiguration from St. Luke's Gospel, especially the statements that we hear made. Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." This is our text. I don't have to tell you that life here below can be a bit of a slog. You already know it. Why, just this week, you've had the norovirus rip through your house again. Adultery destroyed a colleague's marriage and job. A friend has concerns that her pregnancy might not stick. Your checking account balance keeps shrinking while the price of eggs skyrockets. You're praying for multiple people who suffered sprains, breaks, and injuries from falls, and it's still bitterly cold. Some week. Wouldn't you love to leave this one behind? I wonder what Peter, John, and James wanted to leave behind as they ascended the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. Maybe they're hoping to leave behind the unsettling words Jesus had just said to them. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." They probably wanted to forget that. Maybe they were glad to leave behind some of their fellow disciples. You know how it is. Other people can be such a pain. Maybe they're relieved to leave behind the crowds of hungry, sick, and suffering who seemed to follow Jesus everywhere he went. Maybe they're just hoping for a little bit of rest. I can tell you this, they aren't disappointed. What they encounter on the mountain is wonderfully glorious, and it is a rest and a break from everything they've been experiencing down below. As Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And look, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, those most famous Old Testament prophets. They appeared with Jesus in glory and spoke of his departure, of his exodus, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Heaven comes to earth. That's the first thing we notice about the transfiguration of Jesus. Heaven has come. And these three disciples witnessed the glory that belongs to our Lord from all eternity. We wonder, who is this on the mountain? And we see him as he is. He is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. The uncreated light shines in his face with all its brilliance, and it radiates from his clothing. They see Jesus for who he truly is. The Son of Mary is also the eternally and only begotten Son of God. Jesus is God in himself, fully and completely. And the saints there, Moses and Elijah, they are honoring him, and they are delighting in him, and they are bearing witness to him. And yet Jesus has a mission to accomplish on earth. He has a mission to accomplish down here in the slog and the grind. Because he is not only the eternally begotten Son of God, but he is also the promised Messiah, the Son of Man. And he has come to fulfill all that was spoken about him in the law and the prophets. He is the light, but he is the light sent from the Father to give light to the world, to bring light into the darkness. What he talks about with Moses and Elijah is his mission of redemption. Luke is the only one who tells us about their conversation. Luke says that they were discussing his exodus. He means Jesus' suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. Everything that is coming. Their heavenly conversation isn't just about glory. It's about his suffering and dying. It's about how our Lord will deliver his people, how he will deliver us from our slavery to sin, death, and the devil. He will lead them. He will lead us through our life here and into the life of the world to come. They talk about the cross. And I think that's so striking. You know, of all the things they'd be talking about in glory, of all the things that we'll be talking about in heaven with our Lord, you wouldn't think it would involve blood and suffering and death. But it does. Because heaven and earth speak of the glory of our God who came to suffer and die for us. Peter and John and James are glad to be there. They want to be with Jesus. They want to be with Moses and Elijah. And we want to be here too. And I say that we want to be here because we can't go to the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus shone in all his glory, but we can come to this place where we have a little transfiguration moment every single Sunday. We've tried to leave behind all those other things as we follow Jesus to this time and place of prayer. And on this mountain, in this hour and 15 minutes as we gather, Holy Scripture bears witness to his glory. It proclaims his transfiguration and his outshining as God. It reveals him as the Son of God, who came down from heaven, and who for us men and for our salvation was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, the God who was made man. And on this mountain, we see our Lord face to face in a way. We have a communion with him here, greater in a sense even than what Moses and Elijah and Peter and John and James had on the mountain. For here Jesus is present in his holy body and his precious blood, and he puts them into our mouth. The light and the life of the world enters into you. The glory of that transfiguration, you might say, bottled up into bread and wine and given to you. And he shines on you and in you with his grace and his mercy. Consider for a moment the words that are said on that mountain. Peter's the first one who speaks. He kind of blurts out. I almost feel like he's maybe filling the space, one of those people who doesn't like silence. And so he's got to say something. And he says, "Master, it's good that we are here. Let's make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Now, there's something right about what Peter says. So let's give him credit for that. It is good to be with God. And it is good for them to be there with Jesus. And his words, when he says it is good, it reflects this deep longing that we have. This longing to go back. You remember, at least from the scriptures, what it was like. In the beginning, when God made the heavens and the earth, it was good. And then it was very good. And then in that very good, God was walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. And Peter wants it to be like that again. And so do we. And then there are the words of Psalm 84. We spoke these in our intro it today, our entrance psalm. "My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God." It is good to be with our God. And yet not everything that Peter says is good. I would say that there are two problems with the statement he makes. The first problem is with the number. He wants to make three tents. Now, I don't know where that would leave Peter and John and James. It seems to me like you would need six if you wanted to house everyone. But three, one for Jesus and one for Moses and one for Elijah, almost as if Moses and Elijah are equals of Jesus, as if they belong on the same level or they share the same nature. But the reality will be clear by the end. When we get to the end of this account of the Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah are gone, and there is only one standing there. Jesus was found alone. He is higher than and above Moses and Elijah. There is no one like him. In fact, you might remember that both Moses and Elijah in the Old Testament were known for going to the mountain of God and wanting to see God's face. They were told that they would not see God's face, but they could see his back. They could hear the proclamation of his mercy. And yet now, here on this mountain, Moses and Elijah finally have what they've been longing for. They see the very face of God. It's interesting as well for Moses, because you might remember that he died outside of the Promised Land. And the first time we see him in the Promised Land is here, with Jesus on the mountain. The second problem with what Peter says is the problem, the nature of what he proposes. He wants to make tents. What does that mean? It's almost like he wants to put a structure over the glory that Jesus has revealed and contain it and keep it there. He wants to prolong that moment forever. You know, why don't we just stay up here for a while? We'll build some tents. We can stick around. We can stay in this moment. We don't have to leave. We don't have to go down. He prefers to stay with Jesus here rather than for Jesus to go there. Peter acts as if the transfiguration is the culmination, as if it's the full realization of the glory of God's kingdom. But you'll see that Jesus hasn't done everything he needs to do yet. The kingdom that comes in the transfiguration is a kingdom that's revealed without the cross and before the cross. Peter is wrong. God will dwell with humanity in the way that he decides, and that way will only go through the suffering and death of the cross. And the glory of Jesus won't be contained on that mountain. The glory of Jesus will shine through the suffering and death of Jesus, and the glory of God will be seen in his dying to save sinners. And then the glory of God will come everywhere where his holy word and his precious sacraments are heard and given. Like right here. We don't have to go to the Mount of Transfiguration for Jesus to come to us in his glory. But he brings the glory of that mountain and the glory of his suffering and his dying. He brings it all to you today, right here, right where you are. The second voice that speaks on the mountain is the voice of the Father. It interrupts Peter. As Peter's saying, hey, I've got a great idea, let's build these three tents, this voice from heaven says, this is my son, my chosen one. Peter will remember that voice forever. Years later, when he goes to write his second letter, he mentions it. He says, we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. But then he says, we have something more sure, the prophetic scriptures. Who is Jesus? He is the Father's Son, the eternally begotten Son. And the voice makes that crystal clear. And yet at the same time, he is the chosen one. And you might say, chosen for what? Chosen to do the will of the Father. As the prophet Isaiah had spoken, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Chosen to do the Father's will. Chosen to be the suffering servant. Chosen not to remain high in glory above the sorrows and struggles of life on this earth, but chosen to go down the mountain and to enter into the slog of this life. The glory isn't for Jesus to keep. The glory is for him to bring down the mountain and to bring to his disciples and to bring to us, that we might enjoy his glory now and live with him in that glory forever. And finally, the Father says, listen to him. It's interesting. While the face is shining and the clothes are dazzlingly bright, the Father doesn't say, look at him. The Father says, listen to him. We are directed to Jesus' voice, to his words, to what he says. The glory that the disciples see has to give way to what they hear from Jesus. And what do they hear from Jesus? He just told the disciples how it will be. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Listening to him means listening to his predictions about the cross. It means seeking Jesus, not outside of his suffering and death, not in some other glorious manifestation, but in his flesh being torn asunder on the cross. It means hearing his words and living by that, even when we see him beaten, bloodied, and disfigured. Suffering must precede glory. But these words also teach us to listen and hold on to everything that Jesus says. He is the very Word of God come in our human flesh. On another occasion, when people were leaving Jesus asked the disciples if they also wanted to leave. And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is my beloved Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Let these be the words that ring in our ears. Let them be the words that ring in our ears today and tomorrow as we return to the slog of life in this world, and on Wednesday and throughout the season of Lent as we consider the passion of our Lord, his suffering and death. This is my beloved Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Remember this as you go through the difficulties and challenges of life here below. Remember the glory that he manifested on that mountain, and then remember the glory that he showed by dying and rising for you. The Transfiguration unveils for us the glorious Son. The glorious Son in the glory of that mountain and in the glory of his cross. For he has come to do this glorious work, to save sinners, and to give you his forgiveness, life, and salvation. And he has it for you again today, right here and right now. And this is the joy that Jesus brings us. We don't need to go find some mountain to climb and see Jesus in his glory. He manifests that glory to us now. A glory that he brings that we might be transfigured as well, that our sins might be purged away, that we might walk in the newness of life, and that we might come to the day when we see him face to face. Our weeks may be challenging. We may find our lives difficult at times, but it is the glory that Jesus shows and the glory that he gives, the glory of his kingdom, that gives meaning to your life and mine, even today and tomorrow and in the days to come. You have a glimpse of this glory now, the glory of his forgiveness, the glory of his life and salvation, the glory that he shines on you so that it can shine in you and through you. And here's the thing for you to do. As you remember these words, "This is my beloved Son, my chosen one, listen to him." Make known what you have seen and heard. Testify to the glory that has been revealed. Lead a life in keeping with the glory that he has shown, knowing that he is taking us from one glory to another. The glory of this altar, this pulpit, this font, this lectern, to the glory that awaits in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
The thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
You may be seated. I invite forward our church council. Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in order. To that end, the constitution and bylaws of this congregation establish various offices to which men and women are elected and appointed to serve. In so doing, the church follows the example of the early Christian church as described in Acts chapter 6. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's very grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything, in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Our church council is made up of our president, Doug Newman, vice president, Jeremy Paradise, chairman of the elders, Ed Schaefer, chairman of our trustees, Sandy Bowers, recording secretary, Linda Forty, treasurer, Joseph Zaneski, financial secretary, Ray Arsenault, our superintendent of Christian education, Amanda Roach, chairman of missions, Mark Sharon, and our church historian, Luann Trigo. You have been chosen to fill specific offices and positions of responsibility here at Our Savior. You are to work with me as pastor that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at the proper times, that the word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of young and old, that the erring are admonished, and that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administered and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among the members, in promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you, as office bearers in his church, show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the offices entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men and women whom you have selected to serve as officers of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that he may be glorified and his work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, I install you as officers of Our Savior Lutheran Church in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Almighty and most merciful God, enlighten and strengthen you in your offices, that you may be good and faithful stewards to the glory of his name and the good of his people. Amen.
Amen.
I ask the congregation please to stand. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them, by your Holy Spirit, those gifts needed for the faithful carrying out of their tasks, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessing rest on this congregation, strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and enkindle the zeal of our members, that your name may be glorified and that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced.
We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and have now completed their time of service. We pray that in the end of days, we, with all your faithful people, may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Go in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.
We continue with the prayer of the church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That our Lord, who has gathered us here to pray, would hear our petitions and open our eyes to see the redemption he has accomplished for us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the holy Christian church throughout the world, and for all who confess the name of Christ, especially for Pastor Niemeyer and his wife, and the saints of the Lutheran Church of the Savior in Bedford, that their congregation and the whole church would be built up in Christ and listen to him. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith in God's promises, that the Lord whom we worship in this house would bring us at last to his heavenly home. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our country, the president and those in public office, for this town and our surrounding communities, for favorable weather, for an abundance of the fruits of the earth, and for all honorable vocations, businesses, and industries, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all expectant mothers, especially for Kelly, Rachel, and Abby, that they may be kept safe and healthy throughout their pregnancies, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the troubled, the sick, and the dying, especially for Amara awaiting surgery, Susan seeking help for her heart issues, Jenny, Annette, and Judy healing from their injuries suffered in falls, as well as for Bill, Blair, Bobby and Carol, Katie, John, Lori, and Evan, Karen, Kate, Rick and Teresa, Verity, and Diane, that by Christ's prayers and intercession, they would be brought through their trials. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For ears that hearken to the Lord's voice in his word, for holy lips to receive Christ's blessed sacrament in repentance and faith, and for holy awe at God's glory in the means of grace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember on this day the glorious manifestation of your Son's divinity on the Mount of Transfiguration. Teach us to listen to Jesus and ever fix our eyes on him and on his innocent suffering and death for our forgiveness. By your grace and mercy, strengthen us to remain faithful in all circumstances of trial, temptation, and persecution. Preserve us to the end, that we may die a blessed death, believing in your beloved Son, with whom you are well pleased. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. It is truly meet, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who at his transfiguration revealed his glory to his disciples, that they might be strengthened to proclaim his cross and resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today Psalm 2. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us.' He who sits in the heavens laughs, and the Lord holds them in delusion, that he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, 'As for me, I have set my king in Zion, my holy hill.' And I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them into pieces of a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing and trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'"
Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
To the Lord, for He is good. Let us pray. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for His sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.